name's Tim, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Tim. Hey, Tim. We fed a
few extra topics into the basket for the talks this morning, and as I was writing out a few extra ones, I thought, pride. Let's put pride in there. What the sod is going to have to talk about pride? And this is an example, ladies and gentlemen, of the phrase being hoisted by your own petard. So I laid the charge for someone else but got blown up by it myself. Pride has got lots of meanings, like love has got lots of meanings. It's impossible to say anything about love without saying which aspect of love one means, without it becoming Hallmark. Pride is like that. So if I say I'm proud of my hometown, it simply means I like it and I cherish it and I feel a fondness for it. There's nothing wrong with that. If I say I take pride in my work, it simply means I seek to do it diligently and well, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are various other senses of pride, though, which are a little more sinister. One of them, it's a phrase, false pride. And sometimes that gets defined as feeling bad about what one has done because other people have noticed it, not because it's bad in itself. So it's being worried about what other people think about me. But there is a form of pride which Bill talks about in the 12 and 12, harking back to the seven deadly sins. He was talking to a Jesuit priest at the time. I think there might be one in the house today. And pride in that sense, as one of the deadly sins, is a book I find very, very helpful, which gives me a definition of pride in that very broad sense. Pride is putting self in the place of God as the center and objective of our life or of some department thereof. It is the refusal to recognize our status as creatures dependent on God for our existence, and placed by him in a specific relationship to the rest of his creation. And that's the pride that I'm going to talk about, which is the problematic one. I've been sober since the 24th of July 1993. I've been trying to refrain from fixing other alcoholics for about the same time, which is why I also go to Al-Anon. And it's taken the edge off slightly, and slightly less of a jerk around other alcoholics than I used to be, so hooray for that. But how does pride fit in with my alcoholism? For me to drink again would be an absolute catastrophe. For me to drink again, two things would have to happen. The first thing that would have to happen would be that the thought of a drink would have to occur to me. Now, I don't think thoughts. Thoughts get funk in my brain at me, and I apprehend these things. There's a phrase which keeps occurring in the Big Book, the thought crossed my mind. I don't make it cross my mind, it crosses my mind all by itself. Thoughts happen at me all day long. I'm not responsible for what thoughts happen to me. I'm responsible for which ones I believe, which ones I give credence to, which ones I start to build with other thoughts and turn them into causal chains which result in action, which ones I dismiss, which ones I take on board. The thought of a drink and some other indecorous activities will occur to me and does occur to me. I can't stop that. So recovery is not about stopping the thoughts coming into my mind. Now, I have to say, I very, very rarely think about drink these days, but the thought does happen. That's the first thing that would have to happen for me to relax. The second thing, I would have to obey that thought. And the thinking would be something like this. I've had a thought. It is my thought. It is therefore very good. I shall do what my thought tells me to do because it's my thought. Out of 8 billion people on the planet, in that moment, I would be choosing me to obey. And I can't think of a better example of having myself as the centre and main objective of my life. I want to feel something, so I'm going to take an action, so I feel something. And my whole life, until I found recovery, was based on changing how I felt, because my objective was to feel good. Yet when I came into recovery, I did not feel good. The project of feeling good had failed. And I spent a lot of years in recovery trying to use recovery to make me feel good. And sometimes it worked better than others, but often it didn't. And I can't be bothered with the feeling good objective anymore. The reason being, my idea of what will make me feel good is entirely wrapped up in self. What is self? Being concerned with my life. So my material circumstances, my finances, what other people think about me, my position in the world, my identity, my value, and my purpose were entirely based on my performance, chiefly in career, but other things as well, all measured in the mirror of what I speculated other people thought about me. That was the whole basis of living. It failed spectacularly, and it's very, very painful to live that way, because it's all very well having a plan for the universe, but then there are such things as the laws of nature, one's own limitations, the fact that the 8 billion other people have plans and designs as well, chaos. There are all sorts of things which get in the way of that. I was constantly chasing things which refused to be caught. I was pouring liquid into invisible vessels, wondering why the vessels never filled up. Why, the whole thing was a wild goose chase. Wishing. There's a Sondheim musical where one of the characters says, I wish the walls were full of gold, I wish the cow were full of milk, I wish a lot of things. There's this endless list of ridiculous things to wish for. Even having the sentence with the phrase, I want. Who's the I that's doing the wanting? And what does wanting mean? What does it signify in terms of my happiness? The only solution I've found is to drop that whole system. And I dropped that whole system really by taking step three. In step one, it refers to our lives have become unmanageable. So at this point, my life is still my life. Very good. Step three, it says, we made a decision to turn our lives over to the care of God. That's the last time my life gets mentioned in the steps. No mention of my life after that. What does it mention? Moral inventory, wrongs, harms, shortcomings, defects of character, continuing to take personal inventory, seeking God's will, and then my affairs. What are my affairs? The things God has given me to do. I don't consider myself to have my life anymore. I consider myself to have a life which has been given to me by a power greater than myself, or rather, given back to me, or even better, I'm part of something bigger. I can't even call it mine anymore. I have affairs, I'm given things to do, I'm given relationships, I'm given jobs to do, and in those, my job is to practice the principles. From the outside, it looks like I have a career. I don't have a career at all. I have a place I go to where they tell me to do things, and then I do them, then I go home again. And my job is to do those things to the best of my ability, seeking God's guidance as I'm doing it. It's a much more comfortable way of living. And the thing about seeking God's will and God's will only is that when I'm doing that, it doesn't matter what my mind tells me. My mind has been taken offline as the center main objective of my life. It witters in the corner, just like the music that was playing earlier. It's of no consequence. Much easier that way. That's all I've got. Thank you.